talents, self-examination, and, you know, when you're at peak performance and something that you're good at, what does it do to you to step outside and say, okay, let me try to master this? And is it skills to be mastered to contribute to, you know, what you're already doing, mm-hmm. or is it a completely new skill to take you down a totally different journey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, that's it. We good? All right. What up? Welcome to the Cool Report Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ike. And this is a special edition of 10 Random Questions with Vanessa Cuccia.
Yeah.
Before we jump right into it, I'll let you take a minute to, for people who are familiar with your work or have not heard, about this amazing musician, actor, artist, and entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Take a quick second to catch people up on your work.
Sure, yeah. Thank you for having me also.
Of course.
First and foremost, I am a, like you said, I'm a musician. I grew up playing piano. I sing. I produce a little bit. But I think most people might know me as the founder of Shock Rubs.
Okay.
Which is the original crystal sex toy company that I founded in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what most people don't know or understand about that is that that idea, that concept really came out of being aware that I had certain creative blocks mm-hmm. and needed to heal some aspects of myself to be able to express myself. So Shock Rubs really helped me understand who I am and feel more at ease when it comes to expressing these deeper, sometimes darker aspects of myself, which really comes out in a lot of my music.
Okay.
Although, like you said, I am an actor as well, performer. I'm always out for like joy right. in my experiences. That's like what I value the most into anything that I do. But yeah, my personal creative, like songwriting and everything, usually does have to do with sometimes the more shadow parts of self, which is very related to my business. So it all kind of intermingles.
Right. Okay, cool. So kind of speaking, we were speaking off camera about an incredible, we were speaking off camera about an incredible performance that you did in the field of opera.
Mm-hmm.
With the first question I wanted to ask, what does it really take, or what goes into the preparation for a performance,
mm-hmm.
and how much does that take out of you?
Oh, yeah. So with opera specifically, like we were saying before we started, that's a new avenue that was extremely challenging. I just started taking opera a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the preparation is one, developing the skill set. So I've been taking lessons weekly for a year.
Oh, wow.
And then also practicing multiple times a week. I'd like to say every day, but it's mm-hmm. usually not every day. I also take piano lessons still. And so I practice piano. I kind of go between opera and piano,
mm-hmm.
but it's every day I'm practicing something. And for that particular performance, I was so at the rehearsal with these other professional opera singers, I was so nervous that I was visibly shaking.
Wow.
I was very fortunate because everybody was very kind and very like they could see how
right.
nervous I was. So I just had to kind of, you know, brave myself and drink some wine and sing for the first time in front of these people
right.
In the rehearsal. And then, you know, so working on the music itself, looking at various singers who've sang the same song, and figuring out blocking. The song that I sang is called Glitter and Be Gay,
mm-hmm.
Which is a very theatrical song,
mm-hmm.
and very fun. There's literally pages where the words are just, it's like a 14-page
right.
song. there's pages of just ha 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 of like laughter right. in the song. So it was really developing like the blocking and how to express the music in the way that my body moves and everything. So a lot of preparation goes into that, but then I think the most important thing was to remember that this is fun,
right.
that I enjoy doing this. Right. My teacher says, don't forget that singing opera feels good.
Right.
And that's like my main, that's what I'm after, is that feeling, and to feel into that and be present in that. So it's like, before going on stage, remembering singing feels good. This right. is fun. This is what I like to do.
Right.
And that kind of helps ease the fear right. that's present.
Right. And kind of piggybacking, with the preparation and what, because watching the performance, like you said, it's very theatrical. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of, I don't know if it's strain on your voice or afterwards, mm-hmm. Because it's, you're still performing. So what is that recovery process like? And do you leave it on the stage? Is it something that you can feel? And it's like, okay, leave it all out on the stage. Now it's time for me to decompress and get back to my mental.
Yes. So for that particular performance at Sid Gold's request room, I was also acting partially as hostess for this event, Opera on Tap. And so right as I got off stage, I didn't really have that time to truly process. I was hostessing and making sure that everything was still going smoothly. I was more early on in the night, so a lot of other performers were about to go on. I wanted to film and everything. Mm-hmm. But as the performance kind of came to a close, it always helps when people come up and they're like, you did so good. Right. Like, and
kind of,
you know,
washes away.
Not gonna lie, that's like, that helps, because right. as prepared as you can be, I'm gonna focus on the things that I got wrong.
Right.
My head is gonna take
like
over.
Right.
And even though it feels so good, it's, you know, mentally I'll go into those places. So having supportive people around me, friends that were there, Jamie, who actually is how we're here today in this room. She is the
shout out to Jamie.
Shout out Jamie. She does event programming here, and she came, and she's so supportive. And so just like having her there to give me a hug after is good. So co-regulating, I guess, is what I'm saying with people that I love. And because it's like you do get this like electric feeling, and it's going through your body. So to have a hug,
right.
and I think that's the most
confirming, right?
Confirming. And yeah, that's like how to get back into the body, because there is something electric that happens.
Yeah. So kind of, speaking on your artistic background and creatively, what are some sources of inspiration for your creativity in any medium, music, art?
Sources of inspiration, come from everywhere. If we're talking about like specific artists that inspire me, I always get very, I think I see a lot of different artists, and it's short little slices of their creativity that I absorb and,
something.
Yeah, but there's no like one or two
right.
Artists that like really I feel I watch specifically or listen to for inspiration. It's so much. It's more about like specific projects that will move me and inspire me. And aside from that, I think that my inspiration comes from, like I said, this desire to feel that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm on stage, when I'm performing, when I'm expressing myself and singing, it feels good.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm after.
Right.
And they say, you know, to get yourself into like a flow state as much as you can. And for artists, there's so much that we have to do to be able to, like, there's so many steps that we have to take to get to that place where we can feel flow.
Right.
So I am constantly trying to organize my life in a way that allows for that feeling, because that's where the inspiration comes as well, is just when you're in that flow state.
Right. So kind of our next question, kind of piggybacking from that, how do you prioritize your rest and mental clarity in the midst of a creative project?
I love sleep.
You gotta get to sleep, right?
I think it is just about just admitting that that is a priority, that that is something that you should prioritize,
right,
and not getting angry at yourself for taking rest when your body needs
right.
it.
Especially being a business owner, entrepreneur,
I was gonna say too, because of that, like that, I've been working for myself for 10 plus years now.
Mm-hmm.
I have that ability to sleep in when I need to sleep in, which,
right.
which I'm very grateful for in my life. But that was something, you know, that ability to do that is something that I feel like I made into my life because I prioritize that rest so much. If I don't want to do something, I don't want to do it. That being said, there's like, it's a double-edged sword kind of, because I'm in charge of myself so much, and I have to really understand what I want to prioritize and not let myself fall into laziness.
What's best for you versus what feels good.
Exactly. So it's a constant juggling act, I guess.
Right. So for the next question, how important of a role does fashion play in your creative expression?
Okay. Fashion is so important, but I'm not like where I want to be yet with it.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I understand how important this element is to the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to the creative process, because you feel different when you wear different things,
right.
but to how it can get more eyes on you or more attention on you when
right.
you dress a certain way. So my good friend, Courtney Yannick, she runs like a vintage reseller store called CY, and she has been somebody who I've gone to help me coordinate fashion when it comes to performances a lot. But that's just been in the past year, and she just moved to LA, and I'm super happy. But I feel like I need some assistance.
Some inspiration on this.
Yeah, and it's also like I feel like left to my own devices, I'm very plain maybe or classic, and I want to be able to wear different things that evoke different aspects of who I am, but I do get overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word plain, maybe specific.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe it's more specific wardrobe, right? So, but that kind of goes into the next question of where do you pull your fashion inspiration from? And then also, how do you think your choice of fashion has evolved over, you know, over the years of your creativity? Like, have you dabbled into different genres? Mm-hmm. Have you tried different styles, different colors, or, you know, while trying to find your, you know, unique identity, you know, what would you say, or what elements would you say have evolved in your style?
I think I'm just now starting to understand more about, like, I love color, but
right.
I think that I am more muted tone when it comes to my fashion. I have to kind of like accept that. Like, I feel weird when I wear pink. I feel weird when I wear certain colors, and I think I have to like accept certain things about myself, and that's one of them.
Right.
And so like I'm just now really starting to have this be something more of a point of interest to myself, of trying to find different inspiration for fashion. But I think there is a part of me that's always looking for like the fairy godmother to be like like that, you know, you look great, like, and have something that I might not like pick out for myself. Right. I'm so like texture sensitive. Mm-hmm. Like shoes, I need to feel comfort is really important to me. I need to feel really comfortable.
Right.
And certain textures won't, you know. So when I'm performing, that's obviously like a priority, to feel comfortable, because if I'm feeling any sort of discomfort, that's going to affect my performance. So I think, comfort is most important for me. But I'm just like starting to try to find pieces that feel comfortable? Is that how you say that?
Comfortable?
Why does that feel so weird? That is not a comfortable word to say. Like trying to find pieces that make me feel at ease and also are allowing me to express something.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm still on that path. So always down to also work with people. Like I said, my friend moved away, and I think like I don't need to be an expert in fashion.
Right.
You know, like I can, I would outsource, love to come, right? Outsource and work with other people that know a lot more than me, and just maybe they want to express something but don't necessarily want to be on stage. And I love that type of thing, where I don't feel like I need to be an expert. I do need to be an expert in myself. Mm-hmm. But with fashion, I'm going to outsource.
Okay. But hey, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know what you like, though.
Yeah.
So moving along, being that we're downtown Detroit at the Detroit Foundation Hotel, what role has the city of Detroit played in shaping who you are as a creative?
Oh, so my sister moved out here like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, dating somebody for like 10 years. They just recently broke up, but he is from Detroit. And so I would visit her out here. Mm-hmm. And I'm from New York.
Okay.
The feeling that I got coming to Detroit, I felt so much more embraced. Mm-hmm. And like, hey, come and make things here. As opposed to New York, where it kind of felt like there's no room for me.
New York can be cold.
Yeah. Detroit, I just always felt like if you give Detroit love, Detroit will give you love.
Right.
And just finding a community that's super supportive. There's so many artists here. People mm-hmm. are so inspiring here. And so it really felt, for the past 5 years that I've been here, it's felt like this has been a really good place for me to try new things, to develop, to get to know community and build community. Mm-hmm. And I never felt judged for the things that I want to try.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're just doing something out here, people appreciate that.
Right, Detroit is a special place.
It's so special. It's so special. So just to have that feeling has been such a blessing to be able to develop myself. Like I feel like it's been good for confidence while also being like challenging, and it like has inspired me because I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to create here.
Right.
Like, it feels like you can do certain things here. Like, one of my performances, I rented out a space, and, like, I worked with, like, a local antique furniture spot, and they let me borrow a bunch of, like, antique chaise lounges and side tables and just made this really cool vibe for a performance that I don't think that I would have been able to pull off anywhere else.
Right.
So yeah, it's been just so nurturing for my creativity.
That's cool. That's good to hear from somebody coming from New York.
Yeah.
I go to New York a couple of times a year. I mean, my wife just got back a few months ago. And New York, to me, does two things. It either shows you that you're not ready for what you thought you were, and it also shows you that there's a lot more opportunity than you thought you had.
Yes.
You know, it shows me that there's room, you know what I mean? Even if it may not be in New York, it shows you that there's room to do whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, there's room.
But so going back to you spoke about you know, developing yourself, getting away from you know, work or you know, practicing. What are some of your favorite hobbies, just in your leisure time?
I mean, opera is a hobby. I don't know if I'm gonna necessarily pursue like opera singing, you know, as a career. It's gonna inform a lot of my work, but that's been a hobby. I also want to get into more ceramics, which is like big in Detroit.
Right.
Like my dad was a potter, like had a pottery wheel and everything, and he was also very interested in opera. This is like his city, and he hasn't visited me or my sister here yet, so we got to get him out. But like, I did a few things with pottery, and that's like something that I want to pursue a little bit more as a hobby. But
do you have any specific pieces that you like to create?
Well, so I went to a class, I think it's called at Sugar Hill, with my friend Diane, for like, you know, it was her and I and like a few other girlfriends. We went and like did the wheel throwing like class. And you know, we were making like bowls and stuff, and everything that I made had like like an internal stand, like there's the bowl and then there's like a little like thing inside. And she was like, that's a really good stand for like a yoni egg, which is one of my products. It's just like a crystal egg. So I want to start making those and maybe selling them. But like, you know, so, but I like also the feeling of that, but I do feel like it's going to be connected to my business.
Right. That's cool. Cause Seth kind of just, the actor, from Superbad, Pineapple Express.
Rogen?
Seth Rogen?
Is that his name?
Yeah, I believe Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
But he just started doing the, like the ashtrays the home goods and stuff like that. But then that's really cool because it ties right into his lifestyle of, you know, marijuana and smoking.
Yeah.
So that's cool that you,
cool
that you say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what we were talking about before too, just veering off a typical path, but it still connects somehow.
And like we were talking off camera about, you know, morning routines and kind of fine tuning that morning routine or what feels good for you. What is your, or what does a productive morning routine look like? And what does a, you know, a leisure day or a lazy day?
I think about this all the time, like I was saying. And one of my hobbies is also writing. I'm a big writer. And probably, I've written so many lists of like a perfect morning routine, perfect evening routine. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's maybe psychotic
In
a way. It's like that I have pages and pages of like what my perfect morning routine would be. But a very productive morning routine is waking up and immediately doing short breath work. So just getting oxygen into my body as soon as I wake up, maybe putting on a meditation. And I mean, I'm going to feel like a crazy person talking about this because it's so many steps. This is a really good routine. So then like brushing the tongue, like tongue scraping, putting in a yoni egg.
Okay.
Making coffee and...
Gotta have a coffee.
And doing morning pages.
Okay.
Have you heard of morning pages?
Is it like journaling?
It's like journaling. It's from this book called The Creative Act, and she talks about just writing 5 pages stream of consciousness in the morning to get your mind kind of moving and flushing right. out and not caring about necessarily. It's not like journaling because you're not talking about anything specific. Right. So sometimes I'll talk about my dreams and things like that. So
letting it flow.
Getting into that mind and also like letting that be a catalyst for creativity throughout the rest of your day. So doing that and then sipping on my coffee and then going into practice piano or voice and then letting that kind of go into work stuff. Right. So that's the good morning
so
routine.
That's good, right now.
If I could do that every day, I'm like, this would be great. But like, you know, I try to do the most I can, but it's not always perfect and that's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then on the opposite spectrum of that, when you wake up and have those lazy days or you got a day, which are hard to find these days when you legitimately have a day off.
Yes.
You know, what is the first thing you look forward to do or the first thing you don't look forward to do?
Well, I have a name for it.
Yeah.
Like when I have a lazy day, I'll call it an upstairs day.
Oh, wow.
And I will maybe go downstairs and make coffee and bring like my coffee pot upstairs next to me and just drink coffee in bed and maybe read, maybe, you know, do things from bed. But I try to be intentional with my lazy days. Yeah. That's why I gave it a name. Feel free to borrow that. Like it's an upstairs day or in bed day. And like, just, this is what I'm doing. I'm staying in bed and I'm going to just make it as comfortable as possible and read or, you know, do whatever I can from bed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Upstairs day.
Yeah.
So being an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, a creator, what would you say is your favorite aspect of business and entrepreneurship?
There's so many, the freedom is a good thing. Like I was saying, like I do have that ability to choose most of the time when I get to have like an upstairs day and I don't have to, you know, be somewhere unless I want to be or like I make a commitment. So that's definitely my favorite aspect if we're not talking about like the creative process behind being an entrepreneur. So actually like developing concepts for products and things that people could get value from. I love creating and developing like new ideas for things. So that's a favorite, but also like just the freedom that it offers. But like I said before, that has, you know, two sides to it because sometimes it's a minefield to be in charge of all of your time.
Right.
All of the time.
Right. Right. It's crazy.
So that's why I'm so crazy about my routines because like if I'm not really disciplined, I think that I would just be floating. Which is fine too. But yeah.
Right. But it's good to have some structure, especially when you're trying to be productive.
Exactly.
All right. So kind of going into for our last question, after reading about and following you on social media, speaking about your chakra business and how it plays a role in self-care. So I wanted to ask you for our last question, how important is self-care and how do you prioritize, you know, making sure that self-care plays a role in your life as well?
Yeah. So maybe now I should bring out my Visaga skull. That's what this guy is called. So I don't know if that can be seen. Oh, here. This is a chakra. This is a very cool one because it has a skull So it's all about intellect. So that's why I've been holding it. Help me. Help me during the podcast. I'll leave it over here. So I think when we're talking about self-care and how like chakras plays into that, there's so many different ways. The thing with chakras is that it's really shedding a light on the importance of sensuality, and that's a huge part of anything that I do. And I think a lot of people misconstrue it for sexuality, but I'm all about sensuality, which is a more broad strokes idea of sexuality, because it's just being in tune to your senses, and in general being sensitive. And so that sensitivity, once you realize that that's something to be aware of in yourself, that informs when you need to sleep, when you need, you know, to have more vegetables or anything like that, you know. And aside from that, like the discipline that we're talking about, like the morning routine and being disciplined, practicing piano, practicing opera, these things that are challenging me, I never feel like I am a master at anything I've done, even though I've done things like, you know, all of my life. That discipline is a form of self-care, because I'm going to feel a lot better about myself if I do these things that keep me on track towards my visions and ideas. So
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. That's a wrap.
Cool.
That's a wrap for this week's episode.
Yay.
I appreciate you having, excuse me. I appreciate you joining me.
I appreciate you having me.
And that's a wrap. Vanessa Cuccia.
Yes. Yay.